It's Wednesday, February 25th, 2020. This is your New Mexico government. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. Budgets, proposals, committee meetings, debates, demonstrations, testimonies, and lots and lots and lots of quotes. Yes, it's the halfway point for the legislative session, and these are just some of the things that are taking place at the Roundhouse. Now, since we're at the halfway point of the session and this podcast as well, we thought we should have a halftime show of our own.
Yay!
No, J-Lo or Shakira, they will not be joining me.
Oh.
One can only wish, right? But I have someone much better suited for our particular needs. Kevin McDonald from New Mexico PBS joins me to talk about the first 2 weeks and to put the legislative session in perspective. He's going to shake up your understanding of what is going on at the Roundhouse. You know, I mean, they're great and all, but Shakira and J-Lo just don't know what Kevin knows about New Mexico state politics. Your New Mexico government starts now. Back at it at your New Mexico government. It is the halfway point through the 54th legislative session for the great state of New Mexico. And who else should we bring on than the executive producer for New Mexico PBS, Kevin McDonald, who's going to break down what has happened in the halfway point and what we can look forward to in the next 2 weeks. Kevin, thanks for being with me.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, Khalil.
So today, big day. It seems that the budget was the big time issue for the session and the day. As a matter of fact, today, I think they were debating the budget on the House floor.
They were.
People arguing over money is nothing new in history or in our society. So,
right.
So, Kevin, tell me, what were the results of today's debate?
Well, as we're talking, it's still going on, but it's actually not filled with a lot of surprises because a lot of the points of contention are well stated and have been well debated before now. So everybody assumes it'll get passed, and then, of course, it'll go on to the Senate, and they'll have their own changes, and then they'll have to figure out a compromise. But again, the crux of it all is, are we spending too much too fast? We know how we have all this oil and gas money, and Democrats, for the most part, say we need to catch back up because a few years ago we were raiding every fund we could find and slashing funds wherever we could. And so we dipped back down. And so they want to get us back and even above where we were because of this money. And Republicans, of course, say you're going way too fast here. So
spending way too fast. Yeah. And one of the measures that there was some pushback on, from what I've read, was the Early Childhood Education Fund.
Yes, the permanent fund for early childhood education.
Yes.
I doubt that the debate over that is fully over, but that was voted on today in the full Senate, and it actually passed unanimously.
All right.
The governor's already issued a release. She's thrilled with that. It's a bit of a compromise in and of itself. There's a lot of, again, Democrats who feel like it's not enough, at least not enough for another plan that's been popular for the last decade, which is to take a part of the permanent land grant fund, the interest earned on that, and use that for education. That's more of an influx right away. This is sort of a slow growth over the next 5 to 6 years. But it'll mean millions more into education each year, and that will continue to grow each year. And so I think everybody looks at that as a compromise and one that clearly, at least in the Senate, they're able to swallow at this point. And that'll move on to the House, and we'll see there.
I can imagine that the House would probably vote on similar measures, maybe not unanimously, but overwhelmingly in support. Who wants to have it on their public record that you voted against an increase in early childhood education and the investment in the state's future?
It was interesting. That came up in some of the testimony today, because these arguments about the permanent land grant fund have been going on for years, as I talked about. And there were some lawmakers that had been keyed by opponents and billboards made about they don't support education. Senator John Sapien comes to mind, and he had a little speech on the floor today during his debate where he said that his favorability ratings actually went up after he voted no for that last time, so that the billboards may have backfired. So you never know, but it certainly feels like something. And again, John Arthur Smith, who is one of the so-called blue dog Democrats in the Senate, holds a lot of the control over financial stuff, was actually one of the sponsors of this bill.
Okay.
So it seems like this is one of those that everybody can swallow.
It seems nice. It seems like it makes sense. It'll take some years for it to fully be functional, but it's in essence a fund for education in perpetuity.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That works. I mean, we got to help out the kids. Speaking of kids and their safety, The Early Risk Protection Order, the Red Flag Law. A lot of heat about this one. They have to go to debate. What time is it now? It's 4:32 our time, so we have a half hour roughly
before
they start.
Depends on who you believe. I've heard a half hour. I've heard an hour.
Okay.
So we'll see.
They're going to get to this debate now.
This is the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Yes.
Right.
And they're... A lot of people have their feelings. You know, I had Kaveh on last night. We were talking about lobbyists, and he found that lobbyists, the pro-gun regulation wing of the country, the lobbyists have been paying a lot of money where the NRA has not.
Right.
Surprisingly, they haven't gone after basically the lawmakers, but the NRA is going after rural and county sheriffs,
right,
with some to the point where they're saying that they will not enforce this measure should it become law. Now, they haven't gotten to debate. What are you expecting to take place?
I don't think anybody knows. I think that this is a really challenging one because we have such a desire in the current environment to at least consider gun control issues. And yet there seems to be a faction out there that see any gun control measure as an impingement on or a threat to a slippery slope for Second Amendment.
Yes.
And so they just don't want to discuss any of these things. This feels like something that is super nuanced. It's well thought out. It's something that's been done in a dozen or so states already in some form or fashion. There seems to be the most support when it comes to suicide prevention, being
yes.
able to intervene with someone who is in really a bad mental shape and could be a threat to themselves. It gets a lot stickier when you talk about domestic violence situations and things like that. But it's interesting because everybody wants to talk about due process and things too. Everybody seems to understand that when you get arrested for a violent crime and you get put in jail until you're hearing that is also taking away some basic civil liberties.
Yes.
And we're okay until we've determined you're actually not guilty, so you get those restored. And it's just interesting how the perceptions around this because of that weapon in play seems to change that discussion a lot for people.
Exactly. I like that you pointed out that because I haven't – the messaging around it on both sides and just watching, you know, being on social media, watching local news programming, I haven't seen much messaging on either side for people to really – for the parties to really get their position clear.
It's complicated, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated in how it works. It's complicated in, again, that a judge or lawmakers put officers in these tough positions that are obviously super heated and emotional to begin with, mm-hmm. and now they're going to be asking for people's guns. That's a tough situation for anybody to be in. And so I think because it's a hard conversation to have, it's staying at 30,000 feet. And that allows everybody to just go thumbs up, thumbs down on this. So it will be interesting. I mean, I think one thing that could happen with this particular bill is what we're seeing with cannabis as well, which is 30-day session, supposed to focus on the budget. We're at the halfway point. Both of those issues have had one committee hearing. They both passed out of there on party lines,
mm-hmm.
both on the Senate side. Is there going to be time?
Yeah.
To really see either of these things through.
Yeah.
One thing we know for sure is whenever they start talking about it tonight, there's going to be really passionate arguments on both sides, which is another interesting thing because they actually, because they've got so much to do, my understanding is that public comment on these will be limited tonight.
Ah, okay.
So, and that happened when it first came up in the Senate Public Affairs Committee, and several people voiced their displeasure with being limited by.
Yeah.
But you can imagine they could go on and on for days.
It'd be a filibuster in a sense of
yes.
its own as people coming up. And you mentioned something about 30 days that I want to get back to in a minute. But continuing on this thought, we have rural and county sheriffs saying that they will not enact or enforce this law. I know they've been public with this information. How do lawmakers feel about this? But as they take this measure in, they're getting into rigorous debate tonight, right now. And they pass this measure. How do they feel about some elected officials, some are hired and appointed officials across the state, publicly stating that they are not going to support this or enforce this law?
I think that they're trying to thread a very tiny needle, as we've talked about. I think that they see this as a potential to help in cases. And I feel like there's a willingness to try to work with all parties to figure out how to do this. But as we've mentioned, it's such a sensitive area. And again, what law officer, enforcement officer wants to get in the middle? These are already some of the most high pressure situations they're in to begin with. And so it would be nice to see, and I know the governor's tried to do this, but it would be nice to see some sort of a dialogue between those parties to see how, okay, you don't like this. You say you're not going to enforce it as is. So how can we get to some compromise on that? We'll see if it happens.
Yeah, how can we get to some work? I mean, I understand both positions. I understand the position of just being a person in the public who would want weapons, particularly deadly lethal weapons, taken away from someone who's proven to be a danger to themselves and others. But I also understand, although I'm not I don't own a gun, I understand people's Second Amendment rights, and I understand someone would not want, who feels like they're falsely accused of being a risk, would not want law enforcement to come in. I also understand law enforcement's position where that's your job. You have to go into someone who is armed, potentially heavily armed, and attempt to take their weapons.
And this is where, again, is a 30-day session that's supposed to be focused on the budget the best time to have that? Because do you have time for those sorts of conversations? And again, it's under the governor's purview. She put it on her call for this year's session. But this is one that may be a slow burn, years in the making.
Slow burn. And you lead me to another question that I have. This is a question I've asked all the guests. We've got the 30-day session this year. Next year, it's a 60-day session, I believe.
It is.
Are these sessions, both the 30 days and every off year, 60 days, is this enough time to really get a grip and handle the issues that the state that are affecting the state? It feels like a few things can get tackled and other things get kicked down the road. They get punted on. And it's like this Sisyphus situation of continuing to punt on big measures and big measures. An idea that was introduced 15 years ago finally comes into reality 15 years later.
This is an ongoing debate in the state because we're the last citizen legislature out there. And so, again, if you're saying that this is not a career, you're not going to get a salary, people have to have other jobs. You can't ask them to take months at a time to get into these issues. And so this comes up every once in a while. There's a new way around that. This year, there's a bill that the Ethics Commission, which I know you talked about yesterday, there's a bill that would have the Ethics Commission basically set salary raises for all elected officials, which would, in effect, in and of itself, make these now salaried positions instead of citizen positions. They get paid a daily per diem. So, you know, we have to, as a state, figure out how we want to handle that. Now, I will say that what we're leaving out of that equation is after the session ends and those months in between, there are interim committees in all of these different fields, from education to health to corrections, and they meet all over the state. And that's really where a lot of the groundwork and these discussions happen.
Okay.
But those are a challenge in and of themselves because they happen all over the state. And so when you're talking about access, which is one of our big goals, right, access to government, if there's an interim committee meeting in Hobbs, right now there's no guarantee that that is going to be live streamed, as a lot of the things are on the legislative website.
Yeah.
And so staying up to date and getting that information we talked about that it seems like is missing in some of these discussions is super hard for people. And so even on the things that are more clear cut or further down the road, you get to January and February, we're in the 30-day, the 60-day session. And guess what? The irons have already been in the fire. The plans have been laid down, and your chance to have input on that was months ago.
Didn't know, or you couldn't make it.
So there is year-round work on this, but how accessible is it for people to get involved in it and get educated and up to speed on these things is a real challenge the state has to deal with.
Yeah.
And another example I wanted to point out, a big thing in the budget talk that we started with, is the governor, one of her top priorities was the College Opportunity Scholarship.
Yes.
And that got wiped out of a committee hearing this week. And the governor's working on reworking that, and they'd have to do a whole bunch of machinations to get that back in. Everybody thinks it will be. It largely has to do with how this works, right? Right now, the idea is that the lottery scholarship and other scholarships get put in play, and then the College Opportunity Scholarship would hopefully pick up the rest. But the complaint is that that could hurt some of the most low-income people in New Mexico, because it happens before a lot of federal programs and dollars can be applied for to take care of books and living and transportation and all the things that are those day-to-day things that can actually be the hardest for college students to handle.
Yeah.
So they're talking about restructuring it so that whatever the College Opportunity Scholarship takes care of happens after students are able to apply for Pell Grants and other federal programs. This stuff is being figured out on the fly in a way because everything is so rushed.
Figure it out on the fly with 2 weeks to go.
Right.
Wow. 2 weeks to go. Well, we have two more weeks to go of this podcast, and it's been great having you. One question for you.
Yes.
Your big prediction for the next 14 days.
Oh, my gosh. A frenzy.
A frenzy.
An absolute frenzy. I mean, there are some things that are in place that certain things have to happen. The reason the House is talking about the budget today is because they have to. By rule, they have to have a budget approved and over to the Senate by the halfway point.
Okay.
And so, you know, when you go back to this is also the deadline to file legislation halfway through.
Okay.
And last count, it was like 590 bills. It's probably going to end up 600 or over by the time today's done. Last year in the 60-day session, twice as long, it was 680 around bills.
Wow.
So not that much less that they've got to do in half the time.
Wow.
So you know things are just going to get left off the table. And so the Senate's already talking about having a session on Saturday. And so those nights get long, the hours get long in those waning days, and I think they're going to start really soon.
Okay.
And I think you will get some agreement on a budget. I think it's going to be awful hard for some of these other items that that are touch points for people that we've talked about, the extreme risk protection order, the red flag, cannabis. I think they're going to have a hard time finding their way into the conversation with the time they have left.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. I want to thank you for coming into the show and also thank you at New Mexico PBS for all of the great reporting you're doing on this. You guys are explaining a lot of the nuances that are confusing people.
Well, appreciate that and appreciate your efforts here to do the same.
This is absolutely a blast. It's been great.
Thanks.
That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank my guest, Kevin McDonald, executive producer at New Mexico PBS, for coming into the studio and giving us a breakdown on the activities at the Roundhouse. It's poised to be, as Kevin put it, a frenzy over the next 2 weeks. So stay tuned to YNMG for more. You should also check out New Mexico in Focus. They cover the issues that Kevin and I discussed and many more. They cover them in a detailed manner that opens up key insights that others may miss. That's New Mexico in Focus, Fridays at 7 on New Mexico PBS. And if you're into some radio works, tune in to Let's Talk New Mexico Thursdays at 8 a.m. They break down the census and what it means for New Mexicans. That's on KUNM 89.9, or you can tune in online at KUNM.org. Your New Mexico Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our legislative coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation and the New Mexico Local News Fund. The music for this podcast was provided by Pope Yes Yes Y'all. Your New Mexico Government is executive produced by Marisa DeMarco. It's produced and hosted by me, Khalil A. Colonna. For everybody here at KUNM Studios, thanks for listening.